West, Mrs. Webb.
Okay, first grant today, Seaford FFA chapter.
Someone make a motion to grant $250 from my account?
I'll make it.
Second.
Motion, Ms. Dever, second, Mr. Phillips, grant $250 from my account. Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Church of God.
Like Dagsboro?
No. That's Seaford, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And that's the day where they, it's a community day with the police, the fire, the all community organizations there, that?
Yes, the library, the fire, the police, the fire marshal.
Okay.
The hospital.
Make a motion to grant $250 from my account, please.
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, grant $250 from my account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
Well, yes, motion carried.
The Jefferson School.
For the Chad Spicer Memorial Scholarship Program.
For scholarship funds for kids throughout the county.
And that's in Mr. Wilson District.
Okay.
$100.
Yes.
Second.
I have a motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, $100 each for each account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Grace United Methodist Church.
That's in Georgetown?
Georgetown, yes.
And that's for a community youth event or something, right?
That is a community-wide youth event held at the church, but for every, for the youth in the community, for 4-H, sports, anyone that wants to come and listen to a speaker, they are having a speaker, and anyone is invited.
Open to the public.
Open to the public.
$500.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Phillips.
From Mr. Wilson's account, yes.
Yes. To grant $500, Mr. Wilson's account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Lower Sussex NAACP Youth Council.
Did we do this last year, too?
That's previously been done, $500, $100 each, is that correct?
That's correct.
Do that again. Make a motion, we do that again.
Motion, Mrs. Dever, second.
Second.
Mr. Cole. To grant $500, be $100 each council, Matic. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Beach and Bay Cottage Tour.
Yeah, it's to benefit the Friends of the South Coastal Library, $500 from my account, please.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, second, Mr. Phillips, to grant $500, Mr. Cole's account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Out of Georgetown, and I know they are here today. I don't know if you ladies would like to say a few words on behalf.
Come on down.
Oh, behalf of nice. Your festival.
Very nice.
Hello, my name is Laura Gibbons. I'm from the town of Georgetown, and we are planning our first Spring into Spring festival that is actually being held this Saturday from noon until 9 o'clock. At this event, we will be having bands play. I believe we have 5 bands. We have a little children's area that is being sponsored, or is the Boys and Girls Club of Georgetown is putting that on. And it's a time to bring everyone to the county seat. We hope that this grows to be a larger event each year. And we're hoping that the county would like to help sponsor this and partner with the town to make this a very nice event each year.
Mr. Wilson?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have a letter. Uh-huh. They're still on their agenda.
Have a letter.
Second, from Mr. Wilson's account, $500.
Mr. Wilson grant $500 account.
I've got, Mr. I've Wilson. Got some of Georgetown in mind. I'll add $250 to it.
And you can amend that to make it $250 to Mr. Phillips' account also. Total $750, correct?
Okay.
And that motion was motion, Mr. Cole, second.
I'll second it.
Mrs. Dever.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Bridgeville Police Department.
This is for starting this canine unit, correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Here's money that's going to the dogs.
There you go. $250. I have a motion, second. Mr. Wilson, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $250 from Mr. Wilson's account, $250 from my account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Dever.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
And the last one today, Boy Scout Troop 89.
Where's that now?
Millsboro is the young man that is going to
Eagle
get his
Scout
Eagle
Project.
Eagle Project.
I will give, I believe, $250.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Phillips, second, Mr. Cole, to grant $250, Mr. Phillips' account. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Phillips.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Webb. Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. There are several. The first is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a custom woodworking shop to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Nanticoke Country, Sussex County, containing 3.802 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you. The second one is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for an automotive sales lot to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 27,250 square feet more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you. The next is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 13.24 acres more or less.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you. Next is an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, containing 24,763 square feet more or less.
I'll introduce it.
You introduced that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 8.53 acres more or less. That's tax map ID 2-35-30-27 and 28.
I'll introduce it.
Thank you. And Mr. President, those are all of the introductions.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Guy, any additional business brought before council? You bring her. All right, we have a long list, so we will start this process. Remind everybody that you try to hold your comments to 3 minutes, please. Al and Carol Brockmeyer, Captain's Way.
I believe I'm the first one signed up in there. I'm the first one signed up.
They probably pulled pages out.
I guess people have taken pages out
of order. Oh. Well, obviously, we have no way of knowing that because there's only 9 pages to a page, so they got to keep. Okay, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. You first.
Maybe in the future, what we should do is just number the pages at the bottom, so that way this won't happen again.
Right.
This is the first time it's happened. Mm-hmm. So.
Sorry about that, Dan. Nope, no slight intended.
Yeah, I have no idea. We'll start with this page. I have no idea who the second page is, but we'll just keep moving. Mm-hmm. Mr. Dan Kramer. Sorry for the confusion on our part.
My name is Dan Kramer. You guys just don't get it, do you? It's totally amazing how a person, once they run for office, can get stupid and ignorant and everything in the book. I want to tell you something. I told you a couple of weeks ago, you had a problem with churches, give them money. Now you turn right around and put 2 more churches on, and then you want to say, how? Oh, by the way, this morning you had somebody walk up here and say, honorable. You guys aren't honorable. You might be dishonorable, but you sure ain't honorable. In fact, you're a bunch of liars. How so? You swore to uphold the Constitution? Then, dadgummit, uphold our Constitution. But you want to say, oh no, we're going to give these scumbag churches, we're going to give them some money. Well, I got news for you. You know what? You get in the bed with the devil, you get burned. Have a good day.
Mr. Ed Funk Sr.
I bring again forth the problem that we have with the drug houses and foreclosures. I know it's a difficult problem around here in Sussex County and how it's handled. I've asked you if there is, I present something to you because I don't know how to handle it. We tried, we have the one drug house that we got rid of, Ann, and we got all them evicted, which is great for them. The bank that bought it is from Michigan, and they've cleaned up the property to a certain extent that is presentable, but there's still a lot to do. There's also a drug house behind it that they broke the fence between the two houses, and they correlate their drug problems in between. Now, I don't know who sets up getting the laws from here to legislature in Dover, and how it's done. But we've been trying to get a hold of the bank from Michigan to get on their back sides to do something more with the property. I have the name of the bank. Thanks to Mr. Cole, I went to Planning Commission. They gave me the bank name, but I can't get a hold of them. And the only gentleman that does have it is a gentleman named Tim in Realtor in Harbison. And I've called him several times with no return phone calls. But like I said, there's got to be a law to get these foreclosures packed up so that there is no buildings or dragging down the rest of the community and presenting all the blight that we have in Sussex County and all through Delaware. Now, I'm asking you as a citizen if you can look into this, and if somebody can help me find that telephone number of that bank or Mr. Real to give me a call, I certainly would appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Are there people living in these foreclosures, you're saying?
No, Mike. They've been actually evicted. They still dwell around but there's another drug house right behind them that backs it up.
What about the foreclosures? I mean, you're
We have, you know, there's foreclosures all over.
I know that.
I mean, this is in foreclosure right now. I mean, it's already, you know, the sheriff hasn't come up for a sheriff sale yet. But in the meantime.
Well, the faster we can get them sold, then new people come in and buy them. That's the best way to get
But you know up. Yourself how long it's going to take to sell well, that right thing, now, because some of these foreclosures stay around for 3 years or not. And with the drug business still going on in our development, that doesn't make it any easier for people wanting to come live here. And we still have to go through the same procedure that we went through for 8 years just to get the first one out of here. So I think it's pretty pathetic that we have to wait that long in order to get these drug houses, even though I know the state police are doing as much as they can.
Well, one thing maybe we can look into is trying to speed up this, you know, the process that the county can control, and that's about it.
Under some circumstances.
We can't do much about the drug issues, but the foreclosure issue, we might be able to see, is there a way that we can make these move along faster?
Right.
But what about the point that they stay there and have a law that says that whoever buys them...
We don't have the ability to do that. State.
Well, that's why I'm asking. I was just asking that question, George.
That's a state.
So, okay.
Call your state.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Roberta Carroll.
I'm here speaking on my own behalf, and I want to talk about probably your least favorite subject, the sheriff. The Constitution of the state of Delaware does not provide the citizens with a traditional sheriff with the right to enforce the law and arrest those whose acts are contrary to the Constitution of the United States. The first Constitution did provide for a traditional sheriff. The 10th Amendment and the Bill of Rights have been upheld in a case between two sheriffs, Mack and Prince, versus the United States. Associate Justice Antonin Scalia wrote the ruling for the court. He said, "The justly revered system of checks and balances is the key. The only thing supreme is the Constitution itself. As to the sheriff's powers, he said, The sheriff reigns supreme above the president. There is a lot going on in the country, I'm sure you're aware of, that is unconstitutional. If someone comes to my door without a warrant and they want to come through, who am I to call? Can you answer that question? Do I call the sheriff? He can't arrest them.
I'd call state police if I had
to call
somebody.
I call 911.
Do I call?
Okay, now suppose that person is from the state of Delaware. Who do I call? An employee of the state of Delaware?
What now? The person that's trying to get in your house?
Yeah.
Is an employee of the state of Delaware?
No. Let's say, yes, that could be a possibility.
Whatever. If you got a problem, you call the state police. Mm-hmm. That's simple. If they're breaking the law, they'll arrest them, I would think.
If they're violating the Constitution, suppose the state passes laws that are unconstitutional.
We'll have to take that up with the state. That goes to court.
There's a lot of things happening, even within the county, that are unconstitutional. You have a city that is engaged in a contract with the United Nations organization. I've been told by an attorney who serves both Maryland and Delaware that that's unconstitutional.
I mean, what do you expect us? I said, what do you expect us to do about that?
Well, frankly, I would feel very safe if our sheriff had that right. He is the one we're supposed to call.
What's he going to do, arrest the town, ma'am, that's engaged in this?
No, I'm not saying he's going to arrest the town. I mean, if an individual works for the state, if the state should do something that's unconstitutional, is an employee going to make an arrest without checking with somebody else? And maybe it's too late.
If you could kind of close up, please.
Yeah, these are questions we could never answer.
There is another issue I think you need to address, and that is Mr. Obama's birth certificate from Kenya surfaced in 2010. I'll leave you with a copy of it. Okay. I think he should be removed, or at least some investigation should be done at the state level. I've already written a letter. I don't know if you would support that. And I'd like to leave with you some maps that indicate. You think I'm funny, Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Thanks a lot. I do a lot of investigation into what governments are doing right now. I've been doing it for 10 years. We are at high risk. And you don't seem to care.
Thank you, ma'am. If your time has expired,
leave
that with our clerk of the council down there, please.
I will.
I'd like to say that.
Thank you, ma'am. Larry Calhoun.
Morning, Council.
Good morning.
My name is Larry Calhoun. I live at 803 West Street in Laurel. If any of you remember the old Popeye cartoons when Bluto would beat Popeye into the ground to a pulp, finally Popeye would get enough of it. He said, that's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more. And that's when everything would start clearing away.
No, he ate the spinach.
That's right.
Got
well,
that part. That's critical.
There's a can of spinach about to be open.
Okay.
Well, anyway, I find it reprehensible that a church, and I see it a different way. I'm not on the side of the ACLU or nothing like that, but I'm a member of the Bayview Baptist Church in Laurel. I'm a deacon there. Every time the church doors open, I'm there. I'm not here to say I walk on water or anything like that, but I find it very disturbing that a church would come with their hat in their hand to you folks for money. Every time our church has a thing going on, whether it's Easter egg hunts or whatever it might be, the furthest thing from our minds is coming to you guys for money. And it's got to stop. To me, those churches are coming to Caesar for money. You guys are Caesar, really. And we don't go to Caesar. We go to God for our help. I don't know what these churches are thinking, but I want to take them to task on come to you. And then I also want to take you guys to task for giving them the money. That's taxpayers' money. I understand that each of you have somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 a year discretionary fund. And a while ago, I noticed how easy it was to give it out and everything. And then I picked out four things on the request list this morning. Two of them were the churches, which my biggest beef is with. The other two things are travel expense request. Folks, there's several conferences, leadership places to go to throughout the United States every year. I can't go. I don't have the money. But anyway, I just want to say that this all boils down to this entitlement mentality. Everybody thinks the government is here to help them out. And folks, that's taxpayer money that you're doling out at each meeting. And which leads me to the second thing I want to discuss. And I'll make this very brief because I know this is not a popular issue. When all this thing started about the sheriff issue, I thought Sheriff Christopher was a nut. I'll be honest with you right there. I thought he was a nut. But it's just like the lady brought out a while ago about the, whatever reason she brought it out. But since she mentioned it, the birth certificate of President Obama. I thought those people were nuts too. Until I began to read, I began to examine and look at the situation. And I thought to myself, well, these people are not such nuts. And the more I've looked at this, Sheriff Christopher, in my eyes, no more, is a nut, nor are his backers. I haven't been active in his support or anything, but I tell you, when I read the Constitution of Delaware, and that is a pesky document, it gets in our way many times about things. But there's no way by statute, tradition, or the courts and all, we've got to shred up that Constitution if we're going to do it by tradition, statute, and the courts, because to me, the way I have read that, and I've read it over and over many times, that the sheriff is the conservator of the peace in the state of Delaware. And one last thing I want to tell you guys, there's winds of change blowing across this political landscape in Sussex County. By tomorrow, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I just want to say that, look, the sheriff is elected by we the people. The state police is not. So you can take it for lost my words there. You can take it for me that there will be. I don't want to sound threatening, but there's always consequences to every action. So that's all I've got to say.
Thanks, sir.
Larry, you know, I have the greatest respect for you, but with respect to giving money to churches, our criteria is nonprofits. So if they have the proper nonprofit status, we're obligated to treat them equal with everyone else. We wouldn't want to discriminate against churches. Now, taking the churches to task for taking money from Caesar, my church doesn't take money from the county, but we do have to treat all nonprofits equal.
And I'm not holding you guys as much responsible as I am them.
And I think you're right on that. As far as Obama's birth certificate, I'm with you. The one that was presented by Obama, I think, is a fraud. But I laughed when she brought that issue up because there's just absolutely nothing we can do about it. You certainly have the right to bring it up, but I hope you don't think that we...
No, I'm just saying that pesky little thing called... Well, like, for instance, in the Obama administration in Washington, that pesky thing called the U.S. Constitution gets in the way. And here in Delaware, that pesky little document called the Delaware Constitution gets in the way many times where people won't get things done
Thank you.
The Delaware way.
Thanks, sir. Ed Underwood. Ed Underwood.
He must have left.
Cookie Woodhouse. Cookie Woodhouse.
Is she coming from?
She's about to come back.
You could probably get another one by the time she got here. Might take her 3 minutes to get
here. They were here for a court.
But she's coming back. There's a lot of worry, but she's coming up.
I live in 9 Dagsborough Street, East Dagsborough Street in Fenwick Island. I see Mr. Cole's my representative. I've never spoken in public before, so
no,
bear
wait,
with me.
It's changed. I used to be.
You used to be.
Mr. Phillips now represents Fenwick Island.
Yes. But as I look at all you guys, you know, I'll be 90 years old this year, and I could be every one of your mothers, I think. So anyway, I have been a little disturbed about the Bill 290 that you guys probably initiated, because I spoke to the legislators who legislated it. I voted for the constitutional sheriff because he's the only one that can really defend your individual freedom. Your police can't, or nobody else can, but he can. That's historical. You probably never lived in a country where it's socialistic and communistic. That's the first thing they do. They take everybody's individual rights away from them. So I really want you to think seriously about going on with that bill. Maybe it'll be tabled. Maybe it won't happen. But and I wonder, is it, I don't know how moral it is, but is it legal for you, when I voted for a certain position and a certain man to do that job the way it should be done, and then you change it now? So are you really suppressing my rights because you are changing all that?
We haven't changed a thing.
What are you really trying to do?
We want it clarified.
Pardon?
What his job is.
Right here.
We'd like to have it clarified what his job is. That's all we want.
We didn't change a thing.
We haven't changed a thing.
But I've been to one of your other meetings, and you refuse to give him the tools he needs to do the job. I mean, I think I have more arresting power than he does. I don't know, but will you really think about what you're doing? I don't want to lose a constitutional sheriff.
Sit down and talk to us individually sometime. For a half an hour or so, we can tell you the whole outline, what the problem is. It's going to take more than a few minutes here.
All right.
But you haven't heard the other side of the story.
All right. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Edna Ewing.
She does great.
Edna Ewing.
Do you know her?
Mike, whatever wants to speak, tell him to get up closer.
Well, I don't know, do I get so long?
Are we about to you?
Next person is going to be Michael Mattis, if you want to get walk this way.
Edna Ewing, 406 Cibrel Avenue, Ocean View, Delaware. Yes, I agree with everything, all the previous statements. And I believe we should keep the sheriff, keep him in the power that he has with the Constitution. And I'm very much against HB 290. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Michael Mattis. Ken Wanamaker. Henry Sippy.
Yeah, I think somebody's got up. Here he comes.
Okay.
And who's after that? Put on notice here.
George Otho will be next.
He'll be next, right?
And then Salvatore Ziza will be next. You can get towards the front.
Good morning, Council.
Good morning.
My name's Henry Sippy. I live at 20817 Sippy Road, Georgetown. I just want to say that I am against Bill HB 290. And mainly it's because anytime we take away our rights, we all suffer. I believe we should have as many arresting police officers as possible in the county to protect all of us. And if this bill does chisel away at the Delaware Constitution and takes away the arrest powers of the Sheriff's Department, I believe that's a major problem. when we transport inmates, that was brought up earlier today, that's one of the most dangerous jobs out there. That's when they plan a lot of their escapes, and the public gets involved in the middle of it, and the officers that are transporting's life is in danger. So if they do not have that arrest powers in a lot of cases, it's just dangerous for everybody. And I hope you will vote against Bill 290, and I appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. George.
OTTO.
I'm sorry. Bad reader.
That's toot inside out. Morning.
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 Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I have a lot to say about this. I have been a student of the Constitution for many, many years. What I see in the problem in this country, although I'm pleasantly surprised that more and more people are joining the march towards constitutionally limited government, I've just developed this passion for liberty that I can't shake. And this issue of the office of sheriff is extremely important, near and dear to all of our hearts. He is the chief executive of the county. I have some notes here. I want to try to make this quick. I have a lot to cover. But my words are not meant to offend anyone here at all, only to educate. However, a serious confrontation or rebuttal that the sheriff has no arresting powers is warranted. This is not about a single man, a man, any man, it's about the office of sheriff, a constitutionally mandated office, for a very good reason, that the people elect him. He's part of the Republican form of government. How would people come to think that the sheriff does not have arresting powers when sheriffs arrest people in every jurisdiction all across the country every day? How could you come to that conclusion? You've never seen an old Western or, the sheriff. It's historically... I'll get to the Attorney General's opinion in a minute, but how could you come to that conclusion? Why would the state wish to abolish the people's elected chief executive officer of the county's antecedent? Why would the state wish to abolish the people's elected chief executive officer of the county's antecedent to legislative bodies? This office goes back hundreds of years, and he has always had arresting powers. What does a conserver of the peace do? He conserves the peace. How does he do that? He arrests people. It's common knowledge. It's acknowledged by all the courts. Everyone knows this. The sheriff is the chief executive officer of the county, as shown in the Black's Law Dictionary. And historically, the sheriff is a conserver of the peace, a peace officer, the protector of the people of the county, and the people's elected sheriff. He's all these things, but it's a constitutionally mandated office to protect the people of the county from any kind of governmental tyranny first, and then, of course, common crimes. The people elect him. Let's not forget that. The people are the true sovereigns and have the exclusive right to regulate government and the policing powers of the state through elected representatives. You all are merely representatives. We are the sovereigns. Let's keep that clear. It's like I say, it's not to offend, but I have this passion for the American culture of liberty under law. The sheriff is where we go, as has been said, when we have problems. Are we going to call a state-appointed official who is under their direction? No, we call the man we elected, our chief executive, the man sworn to the Constitution is to uphold the law. I hope that this education grows. Let me go to the Attorney General's opinion here for a minute, please.
If you could kind of...
Let me get through this. I came a long ways for this. I just looked at this last night. I just
Sir, we allow 3 minutes. I'll be a little extra here for you, but please try to tighten it up.
Yeah, let me... Okay. The Constitution does not define the powers of conserver of the peace, and the dictionary definitions offer little guidance. Hogwash. Black's Law Dictionary. I wanted to read it to you. It makes it very clear. Read it for yourselves. It's historically accurate. The common law prevails. Here's where you find the duties and powers of the sheriffs, constables, etc. This is the preeminent treatise on the laws of sheriff. Once again, you can't deny the historical fact that the sheriff does have arresting authorities. The Attorney General's opinion here is, wow. It's bad. We will forego an exhaustive historical analysis. Why? It would not be in their favor. As far as the term peace officer has never been judicially interpreted, well, I'm a redneck. Took me 10 minutes on a Google search last night. The state versus James Brown, it's a Delaware case. Quote the judge, a peace officer such as a constable or sheriff has the right to arrest, even without a warrant, a person concerned in the breach of the peace or other crime, or when he has reasonable ground to suspect the party of such offense. No judicial grounding?
Thank you, sir.
And finally, very important point.
Sir, your time's expired.
A police officer is not the sheriff as defined in Title 11.
Okay.
You'll be understanding that shortly, I'm sure. Thank you so much. Like I say, not meant to offend, but merely to educate.
Could you promote
the office of sheriff?
I can't read. Your address is Groves Mill Road.
Yes, sir.
What town's that in?
Oh, it's in Westminster, Maryland. I'm a part-time resident.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Salvatore Zisa. I'm going to ruin that name. I apologize if I did.
No, you did it right.
Oh, that's hard.
Good job.
Good morning, or maybe it's good afternoon. My name is Salvatore Aziza. I live at 33755 Reservoir Drive in Lewis, Delaware. My wife and I decided to come to Delaware, and we have made friends, and this is a great state and a nice county to live in. Okay? I attended the meeting of the county council where there were many, many comments on the Sheriff Bill H.R. 290. I'm not going to rehash all of that. Under the advice of counsel, and I agree and all of that. Since that meeting, I went to Dover, and I heard the county council from Pete Schwarzkopf said that they sent them the Bill 290. I've also talked to many of your constituents in our development, and they are opposed to the bill. The bill started here in the county and this council and should end with this council. Please pull Bill 290. Now, second issue. I also like to comment on your county employees. I asked two questions and got replies very, very promptly. One was about street lighting, and the other was about bill payment. I would also say that the county website is very informative, and I thank you for that. I reviewed all of the agendas and minutes from 2011 to current 2012, and I did not see one vote approving the bill list, and no recusals on any bill. It's my opinion the councils have the fiduciary responsibility to formally approve the county's bill list and recuse themselves on a bill if they work for the company or have an interest with that vendor. And I thank you very much for this opportunity to speak. I have one question. How do I review? I'm new to the laws of Delaware. I'm new to the Open Public Meetings Act, and here in Delaware it's a little different. How do I get in to review the audits and the bill procedure? Who do I talk to? And thank you very much for your comments. I talked to you on the phone.
Yes, you have. You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Welcome to Lewis. What development was that you were talking about?
The Ridings.
Ridings.
The Ridings of Rehoboth.
Okay, thank you.
Come and visit us.
Okay.
Eric Bodenweiser.
I'll be there.
Oh, Lord.
Hey, I got my business hat with me today. I mean business. Shirt on, too, don't I, Sam? Huh? Looking good here. All right. Looks like the score's 8-0 so far. Where's the other side? Last 2 weeks ago, we had two police chiefs come speak against this or in favor of this bill. They spoke about our deputy hiring untrained citizens, when, in fact, only one of the seven deputies is untrained, and he was hired by a previous sheriff. So if we've got ex-policemen, retired policemen, working as deputies. There's no such thing as untrained deputies, okay? We just want to get them trained and supervised continuously. One of them spoke about the sheriff asked for legislators to come up with a determination. And now he's upset, the sheriff's upset because there's a legislation in there. But he asked legislators to come up with a bill. This legislation originated here. You guys are the ones that are trying to make the determination. They're just carrying your water to Dover for you. They didn't come up with that bill. You guys came up with a bill. So the sheriff is absolutely right. I was at a meeting last night where a representative talked about how this bill is terrible timing right before an election. It's causing unneeded problems. Should never have been brought up. This was from a state representative that's on the bill. He said they've asked the Supreme Court for a ruling. I'll tell you what, I'd like to see that ruling in writing, okay? Because we all know that by asking the right question, carefully worded question, you ask it properly, you can receive the answer you're looking for, okay? I'd like to see what it was. All we heard is we've requested, but nobody's shown us what it was requested. There was a young man up here whining about getting pulled over by a policeman, said he was illegally detained. Why didn't he have the deputy arrested? If he was illegally detained, why didn't he have the deputy arrested for detaining him? He admitted he was speeding. He didn't only just pass a deputy sheriff, he passed a retired state policeman who did a tremendous job for the state police.
What would you have done, Eric, if some person...
I'm going to take that off my 3 minutes, okay, if we want to have this. Go ahead.
Sam.
Forget it.
I've got the time up here.
All right, that's good, but if he's going to interrupt my 3 minutes...
Move forward.
All right, thank you. Please. Appreciate it. You made me lose my spot. No, I was on a roll. This fellow was involved in a near-fatal accident a month before. I'm glad this fellow was stopped. I'll tell you, he needs to be pulled over. Last thing I'd do is, if I got stopped by the police, to come up here and tell you guys in public and complain about it. But that's what we're raising nowadays. We're raising a bunch of young kids that whine about anybody putting a foot down on them. I'm against HB 29. I'd ask that you call Dan Short and ask that it be removed from the legislative record. This office belongs to the people. It don't belong to you guys. I can't believe you're telling this lady, 90-year-old lady comes up here and tells us you're changing your office. You're saying you're not changing the office. You're taking 25 points that you found in the Delaware Code where the sheriff does indeed have arrest warrant and West Power, and you're pulling that out of the Delaware Code, and you want to tell this lady that you're not changing the office? You got, like I told you a couple weeks ago, man, I was going to run for the clerk of peace. I'd be George Parrish, stand on a chair and wave at everybody. Now you guys are bunging that all up because I'm worried you're going to change my office in the middle of it if you don't like the way I'm running.
If you could kind of close up, please.
I'm looking to. Yes, sir. The Attorney General's opinion, he doesn't even believe in it himself. He doesn't even believe in his own opinion, because if he did, he'd get a policeman to arrest a deputy for making arrests. He'd get a policeman to arrest a deputy for false arrest. So he's come up with an opinion that he doesn't believe in. Doesn't even believe in his own opinion. So, I'm asking you again. And you remember I was here a year ago, come like 6 weeks in a row, asking you to do something about this gambling thing. And sure enough, you did. You made a nice ordinance. And now you have to really do something.
You could please tighten up.
All right, sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
And it's like Joshua, the walls of Jericho. I'm just going to keep coming back. All right. 8-0. 8-0. What a score we got. God bless y'all. Goodbye.
Patrick. Whoever, is there someone here named Patrick?
Is it K. Patrick?
It says Patrick, 27459 Oak Meadows.
Well, if you're another Patrick, come on down, because the other one isn't coming.
Larry Mayo.
Somebody.
We'll get to you if you want it. Larry Mayo.
Good evening, or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen of the council. I know a couple of you, and I like a couple of you. So, for the record, because it might not show. Okay. Unlike the gentleman from Westminster, Maryland, I do intend to offend. I intend to offend your sense of honor. Now, under Article 14 of the Delaware State Constitution, I believe every member of this council took this oath. I, name, do proudly swear to or affirm to carry out the responsibilities of the office of, to the best of my ability, freely acknowledging the powers of this office flow from the people that I am privileged to represent. I further swear or affirm always to place the public interest above any special or personal interests, and to respect the right of future generations to share the rich historic and natural heritage of Delaware. In doing so, I will always uphold and defend the constitutions of my country and my state. So help me God. Did you all take that oath? Good. Did you see anywhere in it where it said uphold and defend the statutes or the opinions of the Attorney General? I didn't. Now, I've read the Constitution of the state of Delaware, and I actually understood it. I hope you all have. And with thinking about this issue, I decided to check into some precedents. And here's a quote I'd like to give you. The powers of the legislature are defined and limited, and that those limits may not be mistaken or forgotten, the Constitution is written. To what purpose are powers limited, and to what purpose is that limitation committed into writing, if these limits may at any time be passed by those intended to be restrained? The distinction between a government with limited and unlimited powers is abolished if those limits do not confine the persons on whom they are imposed, and if acts prohibited and acts allowed are of equal obligation. It is a proposition too plain to be contested that the Constitution controls any legislative act repugnant to it, or that the legislature may alter the Constitution by an ordinary act. Between these alternatives, there is no middle ground. The Constitution is either a superior, paramount law, unchangeable by ordinary means, or it is on a level with ordinary legislative acts, and like other acts, is alterable when the legislature shall please to alter it. If the former part of the alternative is true, then a legislative act contrary to the Constitution is not law. If the latter part be true, then the written constitutions are absurd attempts on the part of the people to limit the power in its own nature, illimitable. Now that's a quote from Justice John Marshall in Marbury versus Madison. Okay? Now I ask you, is the Delaware State Constitution an absurd attempt to limit power? Your power? Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Wolfgang von Baumgart.
Actually, that was a fairly close approximation of my name. I am Wolfgang von Baumgart, state chairman of the Independent Party of Delaware, 37 Comanche Circle, rural Millsboro area. Members of council, I'm here to tell you point blankly and clearly that you are standing legally in quicksand. You are in gross violation of your oath of office to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Delaware. Your attempts and collusion and desire and efforts to undermine the legitimate legal and constitutional authority of the Sheriff of Sussex County is in itself an abomination. And the people must arise to take issue with this in this election. The Attorney General's decision is arbitrary, capricious, legally and constitutionally unfounded, and based on a false premise. The Attorney General himself has neglected a quote-unquote lengthy historical analysis. This, in fact, contradicts readily available information from the public archives, the sheriffs, as well as their colonial predecessors from the Swedish, Dutch, and British periods, have historically had arrest powers. Those are inseparable powers in their functions as ministers of the court. You cannot simply evict somebody and carry out an order of the court or a writ without that official of the court having arrest power. They're absolutely inseparable. So your attempt at undermining the legitimate constitutional authority of the sheriff is itself politically self-destructive. And I would ask you, in the name of the Constitution, in the name of individual liberty, to cease and desist your efforts to promote HB 290. It is itself an unconstitutional and defective act. The Constitution of the State of Delaware, Article 15, explicitly does not have a clause enabling the state legislature to modify it. Therefore, it is a legal nullity in and of itself. So you can continue on this course. It really will reflect badly on the county council and the honor of Sussex County. You will be jointly and severably, individually and collectively, guilty of a gross constitutional violation, and that is simply unacceptable to the people of Sussex County. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Earl Laughlin, Rick Schroeder. I'm sorry. Rick Schroeder's next. Wherever you are, you can get close, please.
Okay. Good afternoon, council members. My name is Earl Laughlin. I was here a couple weeks ago and gave a brief history, 375 years in Delaware history. I'm here once again. This year marks 200 anniversary for our Second War of Independence. Our state motto on our flag says liberty and independence. It doesn't say tyranny, independence. We are a free and sovereign state. Our county sheriff is a constitutional duty and a right to the people and to the sheriff himself. I would hope that council members would reflect on this, again, as I said a couple weeks ago, and think back on what they are doing now. I've spoken with the General Assembly members, Mr. Schwarzkopf. I've spoken with Mr. Short on this issue. And it is absurd to think that we would have individuals that have sworn an oath to support and defend the Constitution and provide safety for the people and do such an act as what is being taken place with 290. In a way, I want to thank y'all, because I'm the state chairman of the Constitution Party. We lost our ballot access in 2010, but because of this bill, we're gaining numbers. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Rick Schroeder. Next to be a William Elmer.
Would you say your name?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, I'm Rick Schroeder, and I'm from Kent County, but I know a lot of people down here, but the issue really concerns me about HB 290, though, because even though the sheriffs in the northern counties aren't making an issue of it themselves, they might regret it in the future. And not because of being mean or anything, it's just that it might hurt, it might affect their safety. And I just, there's two things that I'm concerned about and have been for a while, that anybody that's an elected official has accountability to the people. And I think that's the most important thing. I mean, our government is supposed to represent the people. So by taking away, and I'm not saying they're taking away the sheriff's office, but it's working that way. And there's a danger of somehow legislating his office out of existence, the sheriff's offices, and that'd be tragic. As far as the safety issue goes, though, we've been hearing for years, but now a little more so even in recent years, about all the incidents that happen just by somebody trying to serve papers on somebody. You try to evict somebody from their house, some people will cry, some people might just back down, some people are going to take real offense to that, and they're going to be violent. And anytime, I don't care what duty a sheriff is performing at the moment, it's all dangerous work. When you're telling somebody they're going to lose their home and they got to get out, that's one of the most serious things that can happen to a person. I hope it never happens to me. But they're in incredible danger. And to not have the power to basically defend themselves is terrible. But also, the sheriff's office, it is accountable to the people. And I have nothing against state police. I personally know quite a few troopers myself, and I'm not against them, but they're not elected, they're not accountable, they're appointed. And I just think that if you guys want to represent the people, like most of you probably say you do want to, then you should be encouraging or letting people have their rights and freedoms to elect their sheriff and give him the power to do his job, rather than to be taking things away and even affecting their safety. Now a lot of people may not even understand the duties of a sheriff, and they may not seem to care, but when people are presented with the issue, they're not going to want to have them be in danger. So I just really wish that you would reconsider your support for HB 290 and for all our sakes, and maybe not resist the funding that they would need to get the training they need and the insurance coverage they would need just to do the basic law enforcement work that they should be doing as a sheriff. The sheriff's been around long before state police, nationwide, and they've always been law enforcement to me. The state I'm from and other states I know of, that is a primary law enforcement entity, but yet it's still accountable to the people.
If you could kind of close up.
Okay, well, that's all I want to say.
Sure. So. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
William Elmer. Robert Davis. Deb DeNuzio. Bob. Trupowicz. Terry Boner. Dottie Mears. Katie Parker. Patty or Ken Steger. Okay. Making progress. Al Buckmeyer. Bob Stack. Vic Cross. Ron Finch. Shirley Strands. Richard Robbins. Meyer Persall.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the council. I guess I'll be the one to come here today to thank you for backing HB 290. There's a lot of talk about, I've read the Constitution, I know the Constitution, but very few people understand the Constitution and the laws of our state. The Constitution just isn't a piece of paper. There are court decisions passed down over the years that have defined the Constitution and our laws. Each of us has taken an oath of office. I took it when I joined the Army. I took it when I joined the Federal Service as a civilian employee. You all took it when you assumed your offices. And we not only swore to uphold the Constitution, but the laws of the state. And it's purely simple that the sheriff does not have arrest powers. He is not a peace officer. He is not a law enforcement officer in the state of Delaware. Yes, I'll grant that some states have sheriffs that do have this power. This isn't one of them. For those people that want to live in a place with a sheriff with full arrest powers, you can go and move. There's no big deal. But we have to do what's right for us. We need to protect the county from any insurance liability for people being arrested illegally. And I do have to contradict a previous speaker who said that a whining young man was pulled over by a policeman on Route 113. The man was not pulled over by a policeman. He was pulled over by maybe a former trooper who's a deputy sheriff who does not have arrest powers. Conservator of the peace. The attorney general is a conservator of the peace. Do we want Bo Biden to sit out on Route 113 or Route 13 and have speed traps? I don't think so. Do we want the chancellor to do the same thing? He's also defined as a conservator of the peace. I don't think we want him out on Route 1 handing out speeding tickets or jaywalking tickets. You did the right thing. You stood up for the law. You stood up for your oath. And all we want to do, the sheriff to do, is do his job. There's a four-month backlog in foreclosure processes, in processing court orders to get these foreclosures done. And it's sad that that has to happen, that we're in this kind of situation. But we need the sheriff to concentrate on the job he was elected to do, and that's to carry out sheriff sales, serve protection orders, not to go around thinking that he's Wyatt Earp. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Collier. If we could please show respect.
I didn't get any.
I'm sorry?
I didn't get very much.
From me, you did, ma'am.
I know.
It's the audience.
All we ask is that people in the audience, everybody has their chance to speak, say exactly what you want to say, but please do not offend other people who are speaking. Pat K. Patrick Lynch. And then Lorene Purdy.
Thank you, Mr. President. K. Patrick Lynch, 1500 Coastal Highway, Fenwick Island, Delaware. I'm a native to the strawberry fields of Selbyville, Delaware. Brought back from Bangkok, Thailand, from a father that served in early Vietnam War. Who's native to Selbyville as well. I feel deeply passionate about this country of ours and the country that I served while I was during it, and my two brothers and my father. We had the privilege, my brothers and I, to be sworn in by my father. And before we were administered the oath, he made us study the Constitution and what that oath is going to entail. It meant our life. The red on that flag, the American flag, to me, represents the blood spilt of the patriots to stand up against the tyranny of this country. Also, if you can stand to watch the first 10 minutes of Saving Private Ryan and not feel that you're obligated to defend that flag and the Constitution, for those gentlemen giving their life, Mr. Phillips, Councilman Phillips, made a statement earlier that he believed that President Obama's birth certificate to be a fraud. Also, and I believe that I observed that Councilman Cole in agreement shook his head yes to that as well.
No, I didn't.
Well,
but whatever. But I can't.
Well, then I stand corrected.
Don't imply that. I didn't say anything.
He doesn't agree with that.
I'm holding neutral. I'm being neutral on that until I see it. She didn't show me a copy of her birth certificate. So
let me move on with this, because in my situation, to express, being born in Bangkok, Thailand in 1965, my birth certificate is screwy too. Believe it or not, the Department of State did not issue me a proper birth certificate. And is everybody in this room fully aware of what this Patriot Act that they enacted in George Bush's term, what this entails, and the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, of what could happen? I'm on a list because I believe in defending the Constitution. I'm on a list where I cannot find employment to go do welding at the Navy shipyards anymore because I'm outspoken, because I speak and I stand for the Constitution of this country and our state. There is something you can do, Councilman Phillips. There is something you can do. And now that you're on record that you feel that the certificate is a fraud, from here it's up to you to start the ball in motion, to start the impeachment, to start bringing it to it. You now on record with it. And the oath that you also said that you have taken, it's your duty to do so. Everyone in this room, I can't speak for everybody, but everybody in this room, be fully aware that this birth certificate is a fraud. This whole concept of the sheriff not being able to protect us, we the people within this county, the one that I grew up in, the one that I love. What are we going to do? If you let it happen now, if you give them a little bit, what's going to happen? Councilman, I beg of you to do the research. What's going to happen is the state or the federal government's going to come in and go, as President Obama can just go to war without congressional approval, he's just going to say, no more Sussex County Council. We don't need it. Now you've lost your voice. Who's going to be your voice is the sheriff's department. Thank you very much.
Laureen Purdy.
Good afternoon, County Council members, and thank you for allowing me to be here. As you know, my name is Laureen Purdy, and I've lived in the Lewis area and have been a resident of Sussex County for over 50 years. And I'm against House Bill 290. I believe that the elected sheriff of the county should have all the arrest powers and protection to perform his job the best way he can. I once had a member of the sheriff's department come up to my house for an altercation that my son and my daughter got into, had papers served. And he came up to my house in a rickety old car. He came up in a t-shirt and a pair of ripped jeans. And when he came up to the door, I knew who he was. I said, hi, Joe, how you doing? He says, oh, my gosh, Mrs. Purdy. It was terrible. He says, I've had the roughest day I've ever had. He said, I've had been pushed off a porch by a broom. I've had a barrel thrown at me. And the guy sat there and stuck the gun the whole time I was waiting to serve these papers. He said, could I get a cool drink? I'm really a mess. Okay. And I've been told by a council member that 4 to 6 people couldn't do anything to help me if something happened. What can 4 people do? What can they do for you? I've had another member of the council write a scathing email on March 31st against the sheriff that I've done my own investigation and found out most of it was wrong. I've listened to an audio that called a concerned citizen that stuck up for the sheriff an a-hole. I've also been told that the next time we citizens elect a sheriff, we might elect a gun-wielding lunatic that could cost the county millions. Now, you all cost the county thousands, and you didn't arrest anybody. I've read Article 15 that said, of the Delaware Constitution, that said that the sheriff is a conservator of the peace, answers to the people of Sussex County. And why, what I don't understand is why our elected officials and the county council, where I see you hold respect for people, I see it, you know, when I, but then I also see sometimes that elected officials seem to be afraid to let the people have their say. I think that the sheriff should, the county should be protected and be trained so he can do his job. And sometimes elected officials seem to look down on the people by not, they've done their job so much that they know so much about it that they treat some of the people like they don't have any intelligence. So we've been in this, we know what the backroom deals are, we know what is said in the background and things like that. And how would we know? It's like you're questioning intelligence, that we didn't have the ability to get rid of a gun-wielding lunatic if we elected one. I wish you would consider striking down and getting up with Danny Short and get rid of this bill. It's unnecessary. We don't need it. And we knew when the sheriff ran for election what he stood for and what he wanted, and we elected him anyway. But if 4 to 6 people can't help us, what can 5 of you do? You, only one of you represents part of your district, and it just seems like all 5 of you don't want us to have a sheriff that we elected on the platform that he ran on. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We'll entertain a motion to go into executive session for pending potential litigation and land acquisition.
Before we do that, I'd like to just say to the lady who felt disrespected by my unintended chuckle, I'd like to apologize. I'll make a motion to go into executive session for
pending potential litigation and land acquisition. I have a motion. We need a second. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any question on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Oh, yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. We'll now go to executive session.
I want you to go to 12 o'clock.